imperative. You don't wait. Then she slips away once again, leaving me wide awake, feeling guilty, and wishing it didn't hurt. Some would say the connection I have with the past is a gift, and I try to think of it that way. I really do. But sometimes, being alive in a sea of the dead and gone, lost and forgotten, feels as isolating as being the only half-witch in your generation. Imperative, she said, that I tell Xander what's going on. But that's an odd way to put it. He'll figure it out eventually. Do I really need to tell him? Yes. Zelda's voice, or my conscience, is firm then. I sigh, because I know she's right, no matter how little I like it. Hence the guilt. I have to tell him. Hiding it is getting harder by the day. An extended glamour takes a certain amount of energy, and that's just to glow things up. Hiding things is even harder to sustain for any length of time. I haven't told Xander. I haven't told anyone, not even my very best friends, who also happen to be my coven, the Riverwood. I think Jacob North might have his suspicions, but that's the problem with being friends with one of the most powerful healers in the world. You can't claim hangovers and food poisoning all the time. I'm half human, so I can claim that I might suffer from such all too human ailments sometimes without a healer wanting to help. He's never acted like he knew. He's never said anything to me about my little secret that would have stopped being a secret to him the moment he touched me. A brush of a hand, a jostle, anything. Hell, he probably knew before I did. I moan and groan and kick my bed a few times, and then I roll over and poke the screen of my phone, harder than necessary. The time reads 2:45 a.m., flashing a bright light in my dark room, like one more imperative I could do without. He'll be up. It doesn't matter that he's been working the ferry nearly all day every day because his dad is still only barely functioning after losing Zelda. Xander still works his shift at the bar and doesn't stumble home until around 3 in the morning. Things I wish I didn't know, but I do, like his every move is etched into my bones. If I get up, I can beat him there. Then again, I could also send a note. Or Ruth, my owl familiar, to do the dirty work. People always want to kill the messenger. How kind of you to volunteer me, Ruth says in my head, where only I can hear her, filled with owlish sarcasm. I throw the covers off and get myself ready with a glamour. Not for Xander, but for myself. I consider it battle armor. I look at Ruth, perched on my windowsill. You can stay here. But the drama, my familiar says wryly in my head, her eyes gleaming as she performatively ruffles her feathers. How could I miss that? I wrinkle my nose at her, but I also know she's not going to let me out of her sight. It's got very little to do with the drama and much more to do with war. The war that the Joywood, which Kine's ruling coven promised us was coming on the night they intended to kill us in full view of the whole town and claim it was justice. Absolutely nothing noteworthy or overtly terrifying has happened since that June night. We stood up to the Joywood and somehow lived. But the dread gets worse by the day. None of us are safe. I shake off the sense of impending doom and picture Xander's place, his little house on stilts across the river. He can look out over the water and see our hometown, a gathering place since not long after the Salem witch trials for witches, spirits, and more than one enchanted statue that might once have been a magical creature. I want to cry, but I never cry. Instead, I push it away and focus on what needs doing. Call me whatever you like. I can promise you I've heard worse, but I will always suck it up and do the thing. Eventually. Tonight, the glamour takes a lot more muttered spells than usual to hide.